BI or Die, der Podcast von Reporting Impulse rund um die Themen Analytics, Dashboards und Business Intelligence.
Hello and welcome to the Power BI or Die podcast. It's the first all English episode. And but because of we got one of, I think, two best DAX experts in the world, Alberto Ferrari, and everyone who's working with Power BI, I think, has heard "Ciao, friends." But I think you can
Ciao,
introduce
friends.
Fantastic. For the strange occasion that anyone does not know you. I don't think that anyone who is listening to this does not know you. But who are you? You can just shortly introduce you.
So let's start with "Ciao, friends." I'm Alberto Ferrari. I work with Marco Russo at SQLBI.com, and we started many years ago with analysis services. Then we focused on data modeling, tabular, and in the last few years, I would say in the last more than 10 years, we basically focused on DAX. So as of today, our superpower is for surely DAX, because we do training, we write books, we deliver training online and physically. We do everything related to DAX, just because it's our passion.
And this one, I've got like some few days ago when we are recording this. The one watching on YouTube can see it. It's a very big book about optimizing DAX. It's for serious 800 pages. And Alberto and Marco are the authors. How one can fill 800 pages with one quite niche language, which is basically made for one technology?
Well, the thing is, we didn't know it would be 100 pages, so we had no idea about the length of the book when we started. But the thing is, it's not about DAX. Even though a book about DAX can be 100 pages with no problems at all, because DAX is an extremely powerful language, and it's an extremely advanced technology. People got used to the simplicity of Power BI as the simplicity of Excel, the simplicity of analysis. But most people don't actually realize how complicated this stuff is. So scanning tables with billions of rows and producing complex calculations and getting insights from large amounts of data is extremely complicated. Power BI makes it simple. And the DAX language, despite being somewhat complex, is still really simple compared to what it does. But when you really want to understand it, when you want to squeeze everything out of the engine, when you want to make it fast as much as you can, then you need to delve into this complicated stuff. So understanding how the data is stored, how the engine works, how to write DAX in different ways in order to drive the calculation in the fastest possible way, it's a complicated topic. That is why it's a very long book. And besides, again, people do not realize how complicated it is, the fact that they can use import mode, or they can use direct query, or they can use composite models, or mix all these technologies together. That leads to an extremely complicated engine. In my opinion, the people at Microsoft that they build analysis services, they are among the most clever person that I know on the planet. They are extremely skilled and good at their job, so that they made something that looks simple, but it is really, really complicated.
Yeah, and would you say that everyone should be good in DAX, or because Microsoft even admitted, and I think Marco also said it in another meetup, like all the standard settings in Power BI, you know, even the date, time, and auto relationships and everything is made for the common user, for the real self-service user, starting with one Excel file and just to try out in Power BI. So there are many settings that are very bad from the view of pros, but you still need this pro stuff to get a real good data model with large amounts of data, I think.
Yeah, the thing is, Power BI, think about Excel, because Excel is the starting point, and to me gives a better picture of the engine. You can use Excel to store your shopping list, and we do that all the time. You have a shopping list, you open Excel, you start writing a few stuff, Or if you are on a diet and you want to count the number of calories, you open an Excel file and you do the math so you know exactly how much calories you're eating. Simple stuff. But at the same time, you can handle a gigantic company chart of account and forecast and budget still on the very same engine. It's just Excel. So Excel has this extremely wide range of usages. And Power BI is the same. You can use Power BI for really simple tasks, but you can also use Power BI for extremely complicated tasks. You can really handle billions of rows and transactions with currency exchange and with budgeting and with a lot of complicated calculations with the very same engine. Therefore, if you have a very small data set, you can do any kind of mistake because the engine is so powerful that you don't have to worry about performance. You don't want to worry. You don't have to worry about the data model and all this stuff. But the thing is, once you start with simple stuff, then you grow over time. So you start loading more data and you discover that, I can work with 1,000 rows. I can work with millions of rows. I can work with hundreds of millions of rows. And the engine keeps up with that. It still continues to produce quick numbers. Until you reach the point where you have complicated DAX code and large amounts of data, and that is where the default settings are no longer good, because the default settings are designed for simple users. They do not have a lot of data, they have to cover simple tasks, and they don't have to worry about the complexity of data models and DAX.
Yeah, it's a very great learning curve. Also exactly. In Power BI, like Excel.
Yeah, when you reach the professional level, that is when you actually need to tweak. Think about your car. I mean, everybody drives a car. Our cars are likely to have a lot of settings we are totally not aware about. If you bring the car because something is not working perfectly, maybe they do that with the computer. They tweak something or they adjust some small setting and the car suddenly works nicely. But as a user, you're not expected to know everything. Professionals do. And Power BI covers everything from the simple users to the advanced professionals. There's something for everybody. And the advanced settings or the default settings, they are designed for then auto daytime works just fine. But if you have a large model or if you want to do something a bit more advanced, then auto daytime is definitely wrong. This doesn't mean the default settings are wrong. They are just set to a basic setting that works for everybody. But if you want to tweak the best, then you need to go and change tiny details whose impact is not that large, not that strong, unless you have large amounts of data. When that happens, you really need to know exactly what you're doing.
Yeah, and one interesting thing is even after writing this whole book about DAX, you say, okay, data modeling is much more important than DAX skills, and you even said like the talk of a lazy data modeler. So someone who is a lazy data modeler, his data model does not work. And this is always the root of problems.
We started talking about data modeling a lot of time ago. There was when we were talking about the lazy data modeler, that is when talking with Marco, I created just one short story. Once upon a time, there was a lazy data modeler and his model didn't work. End of the story. That's easy as it is. And right now, I just started writing the third edition of The Definite Guide to DAX. And in the introduction, I start writing that, to be honest, it's better to be a good data model and a mediocre DAX coder than the opposite. You can be a guru in DAX. You can be the best on the planet in writing DAX. But if your data modeling is not right, then your model will not work properly. And data modeling is by far the most important skill for anybody who wants to work in the analytical world. Because the data model is the core. It's like the engine of a car. You need to have a good engine if you want to have good performance. Then you also need to be a good pilot. The two things need to be at the same time, but a great pilot on a crappy car will never obtain a good performance. You can be a bit better than the others, but you will never be able to compete on a race because the car is not powerful enough for you.
Yeah, okay. I know you very well with this, all these analogies, I think, because of the trainings you give.
Yeah, data modeling to me is the most important. And the other important detail is that data modeling is a really well-established technology. I mean, data modeling started when business intelligence started, and we're talking about the 60s, so 1960 something is when the concept of business intelligence started, and when they start thinking about how to build the perfect model. Then there was the war between Kimball and Inman that lasted for several years. They fought about what would be the best data model. But over the years, the entire community of business intelligence professionals decided together that star schemas are the best choice. And as of today, if you ask to any data model, any professional, what the best data model is, they would just say a star schema. Don't even think about doing anything different than that.
Yeah, a few days ago, I watched a session of Brian Berg about Kusto query. And he said for Kusto, is the flat table is the best. And then I was quite shocked.
I don't know. I mean, it might be the case that for some tools, this is the best. Mm. And I heard this sentence so many times, a flat table is the best option because today we have the best hardware, because the storage is cheap, because we do not want to pay for relationships. Every time I tested it, every time I play with that, it never happened to be true. I have never seen a single scenario where a single flat table is the best option. And what makes me sad is that people tend, I mean, it's totally normal for youngsters to want to try different approaches. That's normal. And it's also good because otherwise we would be stuck with old technologies. However, you need to build upon knowledge. You need to know what you are doing. You need to test thoroughly and you need to make sure that you're doing the right thing. I have seen several videos of people claiming that Kimball star schema is bad just because it's old. Now, old does not mean wrong. Maybe I'm saying this because I'm getting older, but old doesn't mean wrong. Old just means tested, debugged, proved to be correct over the years, and checked by thousands of people that use the model and decided each one by their own, the star schema just works. Mm-hmm. So a flat table in the test that I did simply does not work. I think I wrote an article and created a video about the difference between a star schema and a flat table with Power BI.
Yeah, I've seen this.
The results are impressive, meaning that it is true that some queries are faster on the flat table, but the overall experience of a reporter is much, much worse on a flat table than it would be on a star schema.
Mm. Yeah, and they even think like some things like logic, and it's much more logical to have dimensions and effect table. And but we are still talking a lot about it. So I think there are many people outside who still do not use the star schema. So it would be easy. So when everyone was using it, our job would be much more easy.
It would, but again, there are different factors in why people didn't stop using, but they start thinking about the flat table as the best option. And probably the most compelling one is that building the correct data model takes time. It's not something that you build immediately. If you want to build a star schema out of your business, you need to think about that. You need to define what is a fact, what is a dimension. You need to clearly decide how many dimensions to have. When you have some columns that you don't know where to put, you need to think about that. So you need to stop, think, design the model, think about the queries that you will execute. That's a task that comes natural for seasoned BI developers, but looks boring and not interesting at all for newbies. And it looks expensive for the users that want to build the report as fast as they can, so they don't want to think about, oh, I have this column. Is it should I create a dimension? Should I leave it as it is in the fact table? Should I join it with other columns to build a separate dimension? These questions are expensive to answer. So it would be nice to cut the corners and go straight for the simplest model you can. and the flat table is the simplest model you can think about. But there's a price, there's a huge price that you are going to pay sooner rather than later. If you don't make a decision at the early stage of the development of your data model, at some point you will pay this price because performance might be an issue. The quality of your DAX code, the feasibility of calculations, you might end up not being able to compute something just because the data model does not support that calculation the right way. And the worst is that changing the data model is not a big deal if you only focus on the data model, because a semantic model is self-contained, so you can make a change, adjust the calculation, adjust the measure, and the semantic model still works. But what about the hundreds of reports that are using that model? You build a model, you publish it on the web, then people start using it, and they build reports trusting about a table containing a column and the measure doing a calculation, and a table being shaped with set of relationships. If you decide to change that at some point, all these reports will be broken. Therefore, you make a small mistake at the beginning, and after a few months, you're probably tired not to be able to change the model anymore, because that would mean changing all the reports and changing all the calculations and changing all the business logic that depends on the choice. So making the right choice up front is extremely important, and it's the main task as a BI developer. If you are scared of building a model, then I mean there are a lot of jobs that you can pick from, but BI professional is not likely to be the right one for you.
Yes, obviously. Do we have more like professionals in your trainings or more business people? Like, do you really need to explain what the star schema is, what's the importance of star schema is? Because I have in many ways, and I always, my favorite explanation is like the calendar, when I have three different dates and want to filter and want to filter flexible, then it's better to have one calendar than like three of them, or like filter by the columns itself. But yeah, just want to know, because you are like a top level DAX expert, so maybe you have only like professionals or people like me in your trainings.
No, luckily no. At the very beginning, but that means around 8-10 years ago, we only had professionals. And nowadays, I mainly have users that start using Power BI. They read somewhere on blog post, on article, that data modeling is important, so they decide to approach the world of data modeling. And you will be surprised, as I am, because one of the first questions that I ask very early at the beginning of the training is whether they are familiar with Kimball and star schemas, whether they know what a star schema is, and nearly nobody knows that. They have no clue about what the dimension is. They have no idea that they need to separate dimensions from fact tables. They don't know, they have never, well, they heard about Kimball, but they don't know him.
Yeah, I know even people who are modeling the second normal form or something in Power BI.
Yeah, which is crazy. But you cannot blame them. I mean, being ignorant, it's totally normal. There are so many things that I don't know that I totally understand that you cannot know everything. So not knowing is not a problem. Being curious is important. Approaching data modeling the right way is important. Indeed, in our training, we use a very practical approach. We have, I don't know, like 20, 30 different models. Each one starts with the data as it is, as it is in the source system. We try to write DAX code on this model, and quite soon we discover that we fail. We are not able to write the DAX code correctly, or just thinking about the DAX code turns into a nightmare. Then we slow down and we say, well, what if we change the model? What can we do to make it better? How can we shape the tables in different ways? Should we create a snapshot? Should we separate orders from invoices? Should we create multiple relationships or just keep one? So we make a lot of these choices together, and it's very interactive. So we discuss about the options. What happens is that once everybody has brought their contribution and we start changing the model, we end up building a star schema. And on that star schema, the code becomes super simple and everybody's happy. So the training is is really driven because, of course, I drive the choices and I help them making the right choices. But we always discover that you start from a model, and any step you take towards a star schema is the best step you could. So you end up at the end building a star schema, and you discover that it just works. So the message at the end, the entire training, it's 3 days, but you can really make it really simple. It is a star schema, all the things. If you want to do a data model, go for a star schema.
Yeah, it sounds so easy, but it's so hard in practice. And I think with the composite models, there's some new tool was introduced, like more for the business users to connect even their crazy Excel files to the central model. And then all this need for more DAX and performance knowledge is now also relevant for the business and not only for the pros who are building the corporate data
models. But not only. I think another good reason why people don't do data modeling correctly is because the tool does not drive you to build the correct data model. If you think about Power BI and where Microsoft is investing money in Power BI, it's all about fancy visuals, which are totally cool, but they are not the most important thing about the tool. And then, as of today, with Fabric, with Data Lake, with Darwich Lake, they are moving towards the message that you only have to have a data lake with some data stored there as they are, and you will be able to get insights from there. With Darwich Lake, you do not even have the option of changing the model anymore. You want to create a calculated column? That is not an option. You want to shape the table in a different way? That is not an option. You want to modify the structure of your data model? Again, that is not an option. They are basically removing features related to data model, and they are adding features to quickly get insights from the source data without any change. The message they are passing is, the data model needs to be correct already, and you need to make your data modeling changes as upfront as possible, so at the very early stages of the development of your data model. But the sad reality is that, first, I have never seen the perfect data model. So the data model that works in any scenario, it does not exist. You need different data models for different reports and for different specific requirements. And then, besides, you have a starting data model, and you change it over time. You add features. You want new calculations. You need to be able to build your data model. Microsoft is not going towards that. It's going towards simplifying too much, offering something that looks sexy, but it's scary.
Because for me, I was also like optimistic thinking that all this data lake and one lake, it makes it very easy even for business to introduce their own data, and it gets more and more like self-service data management. And yeah, the people are encouraged to build their model in the web actually. But yeah, I also experienced this. It's not that easy as composite models to upload an Excel and then to connect it to the existing data model. It's okay because I can link the entities from one lakehouse to another, create like a self-service lakehouse and build a model on top of it. But maybe it's already too deep and something I do, but the average business user will not, but I still hope so. But
the composite models are complicated and they are not easy, though you have some limitations. So they are an extremely powerful tool, and I totally love composite model. I think also from the technological point of view, being a nerd, I like to see how things are built.
I've seen it in the book that there's so much passion about all the different engines.
Honestly, I think composite models are a piece of art, meaning that they are so beautifully designed, and the problem they solve is so incredibly complicated, and they have been able to solve it. So they have been able to write code and build a system that solves a problem that is incredibly complicated. So I love it, and I really think when I see the implementation, it, I mean, ow, just looking at that, saying, oh, that is art, that is beautiful. However, it is complicated. It's definitely not simple. It's not easy at all. And if you want to get the best out of it, you really need to understand it well. Yeah. But again, going just back to Power BI, wouldn't it be beautiful to have a button that you click on? It analyzes your model and provides you suggestions. Like, hey, I'm looking at your model. That doesn't look a star schema. Have you considered merging these two tables together or killing this relationship or disabling this?
Beyond the best practice analyzer, which is like a community set of scripts, which is at least saying, okay, you have like bidirectional relationships and stuff. And also your DEX optimizer, an awesome tool. I'm a happy user of it. The whole company uses.
But again, DAX Optimizer gives you hints about where to look at if you want to optimize your code. And it's focused on DAX.
Yeah, it's not a model optimizer.
It's not a model optimizer, exactly.
I have a real bad model, and then I have only count rows, but I have like multiple joins in a matrix in the visual, and then I run the DAX Optimizer. It says everything's perfect. Yeah, because my measure is. It's just count rows.
But the model doesn't work. I mean, the model by itself is a problem. And if you think about the model optimizer, it's definitely not simple to write. It's not easy. Mm. But come on, you are Microsoft. You shouldn't be scared of complex DAX code. Or think about the Copilot, ChatGPT, AI. Now everybody talks about AI. Wouldn't it be beautiful to have Copilot, but instead of writing DAX code, it provides hints about the model so that it's able to understand the model, understand the relationships, understand what I want to compute, analyze together the DAX code, my reports, the data model, and then start to provide hints on how to become a better data modeler.
I think that will be like this in the near future because it's still understandable and with like a mix of things that actually the best practice analyzer does. And okay, the DAX optimizer is a little bit more complex because you simulate scenarios and it's really for the measures.
I don't know. At some point, somebody need to invest time and money to build something like that. And I don't see that happening right now. Okay. What I see is that the market asks for reports that are built quickly. They don't want to wait. They don't want to work. They don't want to build the correct data model. They are basically lazy data modelers. So that's what they are. Users are lazy because, come on, who likes to go to school? Who likes to study and to spend time learning? We all know it's boring. So we are all lazy to some extent. But instead of teaching them how to be better, we are following their laziness, saying that they could get good insights even though they are lazy.
And okay, good point.
Maybe I'm old, but I don't think this is right.
What do you think about all this? It's new stuff that's coming in. Even we don't talked about. We don't need to talk a lot about it, as we're quite close to the end. But like Derek Lake, you wrote a wonderful article about that. It's only relevant for like 2% of use cases. I'm fully agree. And then the visual calculations that are coming in and bringing like a whole new DAX layer, like easy DAX layer above the more complicated DAX layer.
Everything is being sold, is being given to users like the Holy Grail. So Direct Lake will solve all of your problems and you no longer need import mode because Direct Lake is better. That is a false statement. And it's only for marketing. It's actually just false. So you should sell it in a different way. You should say, this is a new technology. There are some scenarios where it works. Study it, learn it, understand it, and then make a choice between the old and the new technology so that you have the better of both worlds. And the same for visual calculations. They have been marketed as, again, the Holy Grail. You no longer need to learn DAX. You no longer need to worry about model calculations. You can do everything with a visual calculation. Again, that is false. visual calculation solve some scenarios. They are not able to solve most of the scenarios, and the complexity they reach when you want to do something a bit more complex than a simple calculation is absolutely high. So again, that should be solved the right way. We have a new technology, learn it, understand it, and add it to your tool belt so you make the right choice. No technology can solve a model problem. So if the model is wrong, there's no technology, at least that I know on this planet, that can actually solve the problem. And to build the right model, you need to study. You need to learn, you need to study, you need to apply, you need to work a lot. That's our job. Our job as humans, as professionals, is to build those models. And we need to pass along the message to everybody that if you want to become a good BI professional, first, you need to work on data model. Everything else comes as a consequence. And there are no short paths. Experience is needed. I totally remember when I saw the star schema for the first time, I thought, wow, that sucks. It's not good. It's not the right way to build a model. I will do something different. And I tried, and I failed. And once you fail a few times, that is where you learn.
For me, it was too like the denormalizing stuff, and then to have like a million of rows instead of 10,000, it was so counterintuitive. But then I realized VertiPack is built for this stuff. It's doing everything so well, and it's still smaller when I have like the large columns.
Yeah, but when you read on a book, you should denormalize stuff, and that goes totally against your gut feeling. You say, no, that is bad. I can do better than that. I'm better than the author of the book. And it's only experience that teaches you that you're actually not better.
Yeah. And I think there will be still some edgy solutions for very exotic use cases, but the very foundation and for real 99% of the use cases, star schema is just the way to go. It could be so easy.
And it is that simple. So there's no need to think about different things. Just go for that. Then maybe there are scenarios where you have a better solution. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But most users say, oh, my model is different than everybody else's. No, your model is the same as everybody else's. Your solution, the solution to your problem has already been found. You just need to study. And again, regarding technology, I always think about when I meet people that love the latest technology, I always make a comparison with surgery. Now, picture this, you need to undergo surgery for whatever problem. You have something that doesn't work in your brain, in your arm, in your whatever. And you need to undergo surgery. There is a very well-known technology that works. It's well-established. Everybody knows how it works, and you can go under that surgery, and it would work perfectly in your scenario. Or there is this new technology, has never been tested, few people on the planet know how to use it, and they claim there are some advantages, but they actually don't know that exactly. Now, it's your body. Where would you go? Which solution would you pick? Mm-hmm. I would totally go for the safest one. So no way you're going to open my body with a new technology. Go for the old one if it works. Because it's tested. Don't experiment with me, exactly.
I have some fancy new stuff here. Let's.
Yeah, you want to do tests? Do that, but not on my body, please.
Okay, that's a very good conclusion. So for me today, I took the basics are still the most relevant thing. Data modeling, and then I got a lot of passion about DEX and new technologies. We should embrace them, but we should also stick to basics and be able and to learn and willing to learn. And I also see, okay, the future, you're quite ambiguous. You say there are some developments, they're not really in the right direction, but they should be just introduced more honest. To say, okay, visual calculations is something special, it's not the holy grail. Thanks also for this insight. And from my perspective, thanks a lot. It was such a pleasure
thanks
to have like someone of expert. I read books from. I seen you so much in the videos, and yeah, now I had you in the interview. Thanks a lot, Alberto. And if you want to say anything, just say the last
word. I think just enjoy DAX.
Das war BI or Die, der Podcast von Reporting Impulse. Danke, dass ihr auch diesmal wieder mit dabei wart. Wenn es euch gefallen hat, dann hinterlasst uns doch eine gute Bewertung. Und abonniert den Podcast, um keine weitere Folge zu verpassen. Bis zum nächsten Mal.